It is good to be here this morning as we're here to study the Word of God. And good to see you all here. We missed you all last week. And I know you enjoyed the worship service where you were at, and appreciate you being here this morning. I want to talk about this morning rejoicing in right relationships. As I was looking at the Philippian letter, that's what Paul did. He rejoiced in the relationship that he had with the brethren, with the saints, with the bishops, and with the deacons. And so this is what I want to look at this morning, Philippians 1:1-3. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And we'll see what we can pull out of here. Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. The overseers were the bishops, the overseers, elders. We studied this before. Pastors, presbytery, overseers. But I want you to look at verse 2. And let me ask you this question before we go any further with this. I was looking at where Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ, and a bond servant is a slave. Do you feel like you are a slave of Jesus Christ? Because that's what Paul was. That's what these brethren were. They were slaves of Jesus Christ. But look at verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace. Thank God for his grace. And then I want to look at peace. Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As to disciples and the Lord, he says here. Now, I looked up Thayer, his definition of peace. Thayer's definition of peace. The tranquil, calmness. That's what he gives, this calmness. And that's what we want. We want peace. State of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so, fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatever sort it is. You know the song that we sing, "It is well with my soul." Whatever my lot, he has taught me to say, "It is well with my soul." We may lose earthly things, and people lost some things during the storm in the past and here just a few days ago. We may lose earthly things, but when it is well with our soul, we have peace with God. In Philippians 1 and verse 3, he says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you all." See, Paul was thankful for the brethren. And the brethren, they were thankful for the Apostle Paul. Paul emphasized the joy of Christian service. It's a joy. And when we have right relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ, there shouldn't be any splits. It's always a split. So many years, church is split. Somebody split. Shouldn't be that way. God wants us to be united together And he wants us to preach the whole counsel of God. And when the whole counsel of God is preached, it's going to touch something that I need to work on. And what I need to do is just work on it. I don't need to bother the preacher. Don't need to bother the elders. The elders don't just work on what I need to. But here Paul, he's looking at this joy of Christian service. Relationships in life have a significant influence on our happiness. Let me say that again, that relationships in life have a significant influence on our happiness. However, our happiness is not at the mercy of human relationships. Humans are fickle. And what I mean by that, changing frequently, especially as regards to one's loyalty, interest, and affection. Sometimes that's why churches split. People change and they shouldn't change from the word. I mean, we have our opinions, but we shouldn't be changing from the word. Humans die. Nothing we can do about that. Things change and humans die. There are relationships with God that provides blessings beyond a human ability. Grace and peace. Always remember that. God gives us grace and he gives us peace. It's ours, Philippians 1 and 3 and 2. It's ours if we just, you know, take it. I guess you got to see it that way. Some of these relationships are emphasized in the salutation of Philippians chapter 1. Slaves of the Savior. We are slaves of the Savior. Whatever he commands us to do, that's what we do. That's what a slave would do. Back in the day, his master would ask him to do this, that, and other. It's a done deal. The word translated servant, a bond servant, New King James literally means a slave. This relationship should be true of any Christian. I'm just a slave of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are purchased by the Lord. If you look at Titus 2 and 14, we're going to read a few scriptures. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Titus 2 and verse 14. We know that Christ died on the cross for our sins, and he's able to save our souls by us obeying his word. And this is what he says here in verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us. _ redeem. The song that we sing. See, all those songs we sing, those songs teach. Remember one we used to sing, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Might be redeemed. And let me read that again. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. _Special. You are special. God's people are special. Zealous for good works. The word zealous means that we have zeal. The word zealous means we have a desire to do the will of God. And we should never let that desire die down. We should never let that fire burn low. We got to have that desire to do the will of God. We are bought with a price. Now look at 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. We are blood bought. Christ, he purchased us with his blood. And so we find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. Don't have a lot to say this morning on this. I have another good lesson as well next week. But we're going to deal with it today. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. talking about Christ and how he has saved us. For you were bought at a price. See what he says there? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, use your bodies, because we are bought and we need to use our bodies in order that others may see that you belong to God. That's what we need to do. Use our bodies that others may see that I belong to God. God wants us to be different. And we have to be different. We can't be like the world. We are bought at a price. Blood bought. People may not understand this, but you know, we can't help that, but we need to use our bodies for the glory of God. In ancient times, people could become slaves by birth. We are slaves of Jesus Christ, and in ancient times, they became slaves by birth, being conquered by an opposing army. They overpower you, then they would make slaves out of people. Because of debt, we can be a slave because of debt. Remember the man that owed so much money, he couldn't pay it, and then he was forgiven by his master. And then he went out and found someone that owed him just a little bit, and he grabbed the man by the throat and choked him. We become slaves to sin by choice. It's a choice. If you look at Romans 6 and verse 16, Satan cannot make us do anything. If people are slaves of sin, it's by choice. Flip Wilson, that old saying years ago, when he would dress up as Geraldine, you remember, and he would always say, "The devil made me do this." It was the devil. No, it wasn't the devil. He did it because he chose to do that. Do you not know in Romans chapter 6:16, do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? And of course, we know that if one obeys God, we will gain eternal life. We're going to make it to heaven when we obey God. There's no doubt about that. Talk to people sometimes. They say, well, they don't really know. They don't know really where they're going. Well, we can know that. If we're faithful unto the end, we're going to make it. I mean, we're not perfect. We sin sometimes. We get it right, but for Christians to say they don't know where they're going is just like a teaching, because we know where we're going if we're faithful to God. But look at verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, that's past tense. Were is past tense. Slaves of sin, yet you obey from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. You made a choice. We made a choice to obey the gospel. The greatest choice that we have ever made was obeying the gospel. But look at verse 18. And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. Now, sometimes we sin, but we can't be a slave of sin, to sin. Can't be a slave. Can't let it slave us. Got to repent of it. We must realize this before we can enjoy God's deliverance, that we are not slaves of sin. The slavery of sin is degrading and destructive. We become slaves of sin. We become slaves of Christ by choice. We become slaves of sin by choice, but we become slaves of Christ by choice. He made us to be free, more agents. We can choose which way we want to go. I can choose which way I want to go. It's not the devil made me do it. He may influence me, but it's mine. It's me. It's not nobody but me. The slavery to Christ is not degrading, but enhances the human spirit. The slavery to Christ is not degrading, but enhances, increases the human spirit. It makes us better, makes us stronger. We say with the book, we're going to be stronger. But we got to really focus on staying with God. Paul gladly paid the price to become a slave to Christ. Look at Philippians 3. Go back to Philippians. Look at Philippians 3 and verse 7 and 8. And Paul gave up the old law to serve Christ. He had to. But he was well versed in the old law. He knew the old law. If you look at verse 5, let's just got a little time here, I think. Philippians 3 and 5. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now watch him in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. See what he says there? Verse 8. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. See what he says there? Paul says that Christians, and what he's teaching me as I look at this, Paul says that Christians must count all worldly greatness as nothing, because now we have Christ, who is better than everything else. He count all that stuff as nothing, that he might gain Christ. All the prestige, the popularity, all of that was nothing. He counted as nothing. Question, as I have asked myself this question, are there things that we consider as valuable that we need to lay aside for the sake of Christ? Are there things that we count as valuable that we know we need to lay aside to gain Christ? Paul did. Let us never allow anything that we cherish to supersede our love for God and the doing of His will. Saints in the Savior, Philippians 1 and 1, remember that? This identification is not used much today. Saints, you don't hear people, you're a saint. You know, do you not know you're a saint? And somebody might, not me, but we are. We are saints. God says so, the Bible says so. We're separate, different from the world. We don't talk like the world. We don't curse. Don't do that. I remember I would not curse. I used to try to do a little carpenter work, and I would hit my thumb with that hammer, and pow! I would not bite my tongue, grit my teeth, but I wouldn't curse. And then you work with people who are not Christians, they hit that thumb, boy, they curse up a soul. They go happy, dog. This identification is not used much today, saints. The perversion of the identification by Roman Catholicism. The notion that the term refers to personal holiness. in the Old Testament, things set apart became holy. Mount Sinai was holy. In the Old Testament, things set apart became holy. Mount Sinai, the furniture of the tabernacle, Exodus 40. May study that sometimes. Now, in the New Testament, people are set apart to God. Jesus' declaration, John 17 and 19. Let's look at that one. I remember one time a man, I was reading an article where he passed by a nice church building and he made a statement that God dwells in those stones. He don't dwell in stones. He dwells in the hearts of men. But here we find in John 17 and 19, John 17 and 19, Jesus tells us this. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus did not make himself more holy. He's holy. He didn't make himself more holy. Jesus is just holy. And you all can look at some of this later if you want to go deeper with this. He dedicated himself to man's salvation. Without him, we couldn't be saved. Let's look at Peter's explanation and exhortation, and then we'll be done with this. In 1 Peter 2 and 9, one more scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Look at what Peter tells us about Christians. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. There it is again. We're a special people. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When we obey the gospel, we were called through the gospel out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that should be a joy to just to know that we are children of God. When we live right, we can show others the goodness of God. We can show them through our lives. We are God's special people, the Bible tells us. Let's live God's way. We'll bring it to a close. There may be someone out there who's not a Christian. Once you learn the ways of God and you choose to not obey him, you're just making the wrong choice. One must hear the gospel. Romans 10, 17, Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, Romans 10, 17. And then one must believe the gospel. Mark 16 and 16, Jesus tells us that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. Choice. He gives us people the choice. Must repent of our sins. Luke 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, except you repent. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Hear the gospel. Believe the gospel. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ before men. Matthew 10, 32, Jesus tells us, whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, he says, I'll deny you before my Father who is in heaven. Pretty simple, isn't it? Then we need to be baptized for the remission of our sins. In Acts chapter 2:38, after the Jews had crucified Christ, They wanted to know what they must do. Peter told them to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I was talking to a gentleman here the other day, and I was telling him about Acts 2 in the book of Acts, and was teaching him it was 3,000 people who were baptized that day. He said, that's a lot of people. Yes, it is. But they had help. There were men helping baptizing. 3,000 in one day. That is a lot of people. And so they didn't tell them to come back. Y'all just come back next week, and a group of you come back. Maybe we spread this out. We'll just get you baptized. To do that, they were baptized right then, that day. And that's what we have to do. There may be someone out there who is a Christian and they've fallen away, got off a track. That's easy to do. Just come back, repent, confess your faults, and God will put you back in your proper place. Let us stand and sing the song that has been selected. Thank you.